We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Experience. I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I think that's I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
And it continues today, which was yesterday is tomorrow. Welcome in. It's Sabres Live, and Marty is processing. I feel like I'm on a good network and on a good pathway to delivering, hopefully, an enjoyable next hour. Marty, the big news, obviously, dropped yesterday, and then Kevin Adams said his presser in the afternoon. And, of course, the players are speaking today, among which we've heard from Alex Tuch, Rasmus Dahlin, Jeff Skinner. Here we are, 24 hours later, right? What has changed in your mind as far as clarity from the general manager standpoint and how it impacts what you're thinking based on, at this time yesterday, we were talking about if you were Kevin Adams, who would you make the first phone call to? What are you thinking now after hearing yesterday and parts of today already on player availability?
Well, I listened to Kevin Adams. He talks about experience. That's what we talked on the show yesterday. We talked about my list of five are all experienced head coaches that have been on multiple teams, that have had success, that have a type of, and most GMs, when hiring a second coach, because they hire a first coach and then they go and hire a second coach, they usually get what they didn't go after the first time, right? They kind of go in a different direction. And Don Granato is a great development-minded coach. And Kevin Adams was quick to point out he has nothing bad to say about Don Granato, that he did a great job, just it wasn't good enough to where he wants the team to continue going, and somebody else has to take that leap. But so an experienced coach. At first, when I put my list together yesterday, I'm like, do these guys want to come to Buffalo? Do these guys, like, there's experienced coaches that may be looking for other opportunities, right? And now who knows? We may add Mike Sullivan to the list, because who knows if Pittsburgh is going to retain them now that they are, you know, excluded from the playoffs this year because of last night's scenario. So we'll see what happens there. But I had multiple conversations with hockey people yesterday. And Buffalo is a now very attractive place for, like, head coaches that want to have a good foundation, want to have a place that they know they can win. You know, like 2 years ago, I think if you called, let's put somebody on the list, like Craig Berube, for example, but he was hired by the St. Louis Blues. But if he was available in 2 years ago after Ralph Krueger got fired, you call Craig Berube and you're like, hey, we're Buffalo, you know, come here. I think there's more. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm going to wait out, like, see other opportunities. Maybe other teams with coach vacancies are more attractive for a bigger name, an experienced coach. I think 2 years later, it's not that case anymore. I think Buffalo is a very, very higher on the list with a lot of those coaches than most would have thought to. So that's where it, listening to Kevin Adams talk and then having my own conversation, I'm like, oh, this could really be interesting to see how many people get interviewed, how many big experienced coaches get interviewed, and if you have your choice at the end, or if they, you know, unfortunately, sometimes there's only one left that says, yeah, I want to do it, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
So based on all that and some of the names that we discussed yesterday, which were more from our audience that was connecting with us on X, do you think that the list is longer or shorter than what you were envisioning yesterday at this time?
When I was having my conversations, I felt, I could probably add this coach to the list. I could add this coach to the, I ended up like 8-9 coaches deep, right? And I'm like, oh, there's other players. Now,
so
when
clearly
Kevin
then
spoke,
you're not isolating it then on people that have won the ultimate prize, because those are few and far between, right?
No.
Like, there are some that are still coaching, some that are out, you know what I mean? Like, so
I mean,
experience doesn't necessarily mean they've scaled the mountain, but that also might make it more appealing here, right?
And then sometimes you forget a coach or a name, and then you're like, oh, like I was doing the Leafs Florida Panthers game yesterday at TSN, right? They look at the bench and they're working on a play, like a power play or whatever. And Sheldon Keefe is standing right next to Guy Boucher. And I'm like, oh, Guy Boucher, he's doing the power play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He is a very structured, like a guy that has an NHL experience, a younger type coach. He's not a 65, 68 years old, but he's been a head coach in the NHL. And now he's an associate coach in Toronto. And I'm like, well, maybe that's a guy you interview. I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm like, maybe that's a guy you interview. Maybe your list of candidates is bigger. Now, when I listen to Kevin Adams talk and he says, I have a very, not specific, I don't remember the word he used, but a clarity as to what I want. I know what I want. And I'm like, oh, well, his list must be short. Because if he knows what he wants, usually that means I have somebody in mind. Now I just got to go through the process to see if it works. But so my list expanded. And then when Kevin spoke, I felt like, well, maybe the list is shorter, you know, in real time than it is on my sheet of paper.
Alex Tuck earlier today on the coaching change and more specifically on the next hire.
Kevin and his support staff are going to make the right decisions when hiring our next coach. Someone that, like you said, is going to hold us accountable. Someone with some experience, a good hockey mind, smart. I think someone that brings energy into this locker room. I think at times we weren't able to maintain energy, and at times we weren't able to gather, I guess, and create energy and momentum ourselves. And someone that's able to do that and help us reach our full potential.
And those last two words are interesting.
False start, on my end. Sorry, Duffer. I jumped the gun. I got a yellow flag that hit me right in the face and I fell over.
Okay, it's really funny that you say that, because I was at a lacrosse game yesterday afternoon and the velocity with which the officials chucked the flags was really appealing to me. And it had me thinking about how you would love this and you would be all over it. Like,
was it John Tavares throwing the red challenge flag in velocity?
These yellow ones traveled at about 10 times the speed of JT's red ones. So it was something to behold, especially when simultaneous flags went off.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. So The point there is just, you know, kind of how Alex wrapped up that comment, right? And I, full potential. So when you were talking about this team, this organization, this city, perhaps being more appealing now for an experienced coach, you have to base that on what those last two words were, right? From Alex.
Yeah.
That whoever's coming in here sees a way to maximize this full potential of a team that's been close in the last 2 years, like not even close enough in the sense of like, obviously they wanted more, but they're in, right? Like they're in that cluster of teams.
Yes. Yes.
So there has to be, like, you've obviously experienced it with these types of coaches. So what makes them, like, what makes this next individual believe that they have the way to maximize that full potential?
So a head coach is like a school teacher. You know, you go from year to year, you're in second grade. Little Johnny, little Tiffany had a great year in second grade. And then in the third grade, the teacher's different. The teacher communicates different. The teacher maybe, you know, doesn't connect in the same way. I think head coaches are like school teachers in a lot of ways. Is either you have to adapt with the players that you have, or the players have to adapt to you. There's two ways of doing it, right? Getting the best out of everybody is not just the coach's responsibility, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's your own responsibility to be able to, you know, take in the information. So, when you start the year and, you know, little Johnny doesn't have a good start, good first report card, and you're like, hey, you have to work harder, right? That's the first thing. Like, you got to do your homework, got to work harder. The second step is, well, is their communication with the coach or the teacher, are they getting the best potential out of you? I think that's kind of like what the players are battling with right now with Alex Tuch. I mean, Alex Tuch had a career year 2 years ago. Don Granato got the best out of him, the very best out of him. He led the team in scoring this year, tied with Darlene. I mean, it wasn't as great a season, but it's still a good season. But he probably is looking at, I can bring out more out of myself, and hopefully the next coach will be able to help me a little bit along the way, because that you need that help. That's why there's coaches. If it was just the players, you would have coaches behind the bench. Nobody who would want to, like, it's just on the players. It's not. So that's the dynamic here that, you know, is interesting. And after the shock of yesterday with the players, it's probably like, oh my goodness, this sucks. The coach getting fired sucks. But now you're like, okay, let's move forward. Let's get excited about what the potential and the possibilities can be.
And Rasmus Dahlin, further on that exact topic, you know, on what is needed for the next step.
As a group, we have to play better. First of all, we have to look ourselves in the mirror. Us players weren't good enough. We didn't help Donnie at all, honestly. We need a good summer. When we get to training camp, we need a really good camp, and we have to be pushed. We have a young group who are hungry, and we need to get pushed hard, and we're ready for it.
Okay, this one's going to come out of left field for you. Mm-hmm. Which area of the team do you think a coach can have the biggest impact, the next coach can have the biggest impact on? The forwards or the defense? I don't even know why I'm asking you this, but I just, probably just seeing Rasmus there. Look, Rasmus can do it all. We know that. But he's still going to keep getting better at it. That's the beauty here, right? Like, I know he's 6 years in, but every aspect of what he does is going to improve. But, you know, you heard certainly yesterday questions towards the general manager. Like, you know, you don't necessarily want a coach that's going to, like, bring in the boring hockey, right? Even though you want the wins, like, there's a fine line here. Like, so do you think that that next experienced coach can really, like, elevate the forward group? Or is it more, this team right now, as the roster is constructed, needs to have, like, the best defense core ever, which then makes everybody else
I think that the new coach needs to come in, and you can win games by having this great offense, but you can be consistent in winning games with being, Devin talked about being hard to play against. And one night it's, you got to be physical. One night you got to be scoring. One night you got to be just good sticks and good positioning. But in the end, I feel like the Victor Hedman is hard to play against. Not because Victor Hedman is Scott Steven and will decapitate you every time you, but he's so good positionally. He's got such a good stick. He's and that to me is what being hard to play against would be. And I think that's having a good defensive structure. Now, I struggled as I was driving yesterday, and I know we talked about it, and there was a comment on X. Somebody says, I don't want the New Jersey Devils trap, you know, and low-scoring game, boring games. I get that. But I'm not even saying going 82-0 and you win 1-0 games, all 82 games. I'm saying if you finish the season with 100 points, as a defensive-minded team.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Or you finish the season, like last year, 1 point out of the playoff as an offensive-minded team. Which one, as a fan, would you take? And it's a no-brainer. Everybody would take 100 points in the playoffs, a defensive-minded team. It's the defensive-minded teams that don't get in that get a bad rap. But winning with structure and strong defensive play is never going to have a bad rap, you know, because you win. That's all. That's all it is.
Can you give me a comparable right now among teams that have qualified for the playoffs that might resemble what the Sabres could look like next year?
How about, it's hard to say the Winnipeg Jets.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because the Winnipeg Jets have Connor Hellebuck. But minus Connor Hellebuck, who's the Vezina Trophy winning Jets, like their defensive core is not Norris winner.
Oh,
you know,
wait a minute. Morrissey, absolutely.
Morrissey's really good, but yeah. Dahlin is better.
Yeah, in future outlook, perhaps. But I think in the last couple of years, like you have to give a little more credit to Morrissey and how good he's been. I don't think people give him enough credit, quite frankly.
Dahlin, Power, Samuelson, Byram, for example,
right. Exactly,
is
yeah.
a lot better than Morrissey and DeMello.
Not until they prove it, though.
Exactly. The Winnipeg Jets, who are going to win the Jennings Trophy this year. The lowest goals against as a team in the National Hockey League. Are they a boring team to watch because they're good defensively? 100% no. 100% no. Are they hard to play against this year? Yes. Right? Have they made some drastic changes over the last few years? Yeah. They went through coach changes. They got Rick Bonus. They decided to trade away Pierre-Luc Dubois. They decided to let go of Blake Wheeler. They've made a lot of changes, right? And the Jets are better off for it, but their structure is their defensive game. And right now, I mean, because of that, I think the Jets, in my opinion, are... They're going to win the first round against Colorado. Colorado's got that great offense, but the Jets are the team, I think, that you can look at and say they're great defensively, they get success, and they're not boring to watch.
Right. And just if you haven't been following along, Josh Morrissey, 76 points a year ago, 69 this year, and fifth in voting for the Norris last year. So my statement is not outlandish.
No, it's absolutely not. But you know, Morrissey had a drop in production this year, which could happen. But
seven
he had,
points.
I get that, but I'm just saying, like, it's
that's
a little
like
bit
saying
like
Wayne Gretzky had a drop.
I know,
from 250 to 200.
Picking,
come on,
it's nitpicking. But again, Josh Morrissey is not doing it on his own. Rasmus Dahlin will not do it on his own. He has a supporting group because of the approach, the structure, the mindset, the hard work. I mean, Dahlin just said, we got to be, you know, we know we got to be pushed. And I'm like, hey, you just opened the door because a new coach coming in, hearing Rasmus Dahlin, says we need to be pushed. Mm-hmm. That's green light. That's green light. And it's going to be tough.
Right. And the Jets last night were able to lock down home ice advantage in round number one by their win over Seattle. So they are now going to face Colorado and have that home ice advantage. So a lot of things got settled last night. We'll obviously get into as much of it as we can later on in the show. But, you know, first and foremost, and we, you know, we're kind of operating a little bit on the assumption that you've digested a ton of what the general manager had to say yesterday. And as always, it's available through our social channels and on sabres.com as well. But the, you know, the freshest material is coming from the players this morning. And not surprisingly, based on what the GM outlined yesterday, certain players being asked about specific names when it comes to the next coach. So one coach that's out there that is not employed at the moment would be Gerard Gallant, Alex Tuck on his former coach.
Turkey. That's another one. Oh, man, he was an unbelievable coach. I really loved him. Obviously, I had him my first couple years in the NHL. Went to Stanley Cup final with him. That's another fantastic candidate. If they were looking at those two guys, I'd be extremely happy with both. I think he brings he brings a lot of firepower and energy with him. He was great for me. He really held me accountable as a rookie, as a young guy, and I wouldn't be the player I am without him today.
Who do you think the other guy was that Tuck was referring to?
Lindy Ruff was the other guy that Tuck
Thank
was
you.
Referring to. but Gerard Gallant, listen, has had a lot of success. He was on my list yesterday. Why? Because there's been some tumultuous exits for Gerard Gallant over his years in the organization he's been with. And obviously, if you're Kevin Adams and if Gallant was a coach that you interviewed, you would kind of see what happened and you would kind of get answers there. But you talk about somebody that pushes and till the limit, he's that guy. He is wearing like his emotions and more on his sleeves. You could see it behind the bench at practice at any moment in his interviews. They call him Turk, and he coaches like he played. Really, that's the way that he did. He coaches good like player. He played, and that's was a really tough nose, hard player, good player, and that's how he coaches.
Yes, and as mentioned, it's an interesting dynamic here. Players being asked specifically about, you know, names that have coached in the NHL. And obviously we just mentioned the other one that is now out of a job because of what transpired in New Jersey during the course of this season. That would be former Sabre coach Lindy Ruff. And Alex had these comments on him.
I think I've probably watched Lindy coach about as many games as I've actually played. Well, more than the amount of games I played for the Sabres. So he was my favorite coach growing up. That was the teams that I watched and sat on the couch and watched with my dad, and to see what he was able to do with those teams was really cool. It was really special. I got to actually meet him for the first time this year. I didn't even think about that. Lindy's a great coach, really smart guy. I've always been a huge fan of his. I have no idea. That'd be pretty cool, though. Dream come true for me.
It's interesting, right? And it makes me wonder, when you hear players being asked about specific names, does it in any way impact the process? Or do you just operate on the assumption that the general manager talks to all his top players or doesn't? Like, I'm really curious here. Like, lay it out what you think is actually happening here as far as, you know, the general manager wanting feedback, not wanting feedback, being open to anything, already having his mind quote unquote made up. Like, that's what some people might think right now, right? Because Kevin was very demonstrative, I thought, yesterday.
He was firm. Right? Like, he was, yeah, exactly. He brought it up on his own. It wasn't somebody saying, do you have a candidate in mind? Do you have a top of the list candidate? No, it wasn't like that. He brought it up. He says, I have a clear idea of what I want. And it starts today. So I think there's different situations. Personally, I remember when John Tortorella got fired at the end of the season, the 12-13 season with the New York Rangers. I think Glenn Seder, Jeff Gorton at the time with the New York Rangers, talked to the leadership group. They talked to Henrik Lundqvist. I know because Lundqvist and I were talking and he's like, you know, I don't know that we can win with Torts and, you know, what kind of coach do we need? And that was the thing, right? And I'm not saying he got Torts fired. I'm just saying after Torts got fired, he was like, okay, what kind of coach do we need? Like, this is the conversation. And I know he had that conversation. He's the leader of the pack, right? He's going to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Adams, when selecting Don Granato last time, probably got together with a lot of his leaders. And what was your experience with Granato as interim head coach? What did you feel like? How did that work? And the experience between going from Kruger to Granato and really getting in the mindset of the players. I will venture a guess that he will have very little conversations with his players this time around. Because Kevin probably could have gone around the locker room and asked everybody, how's Donnie? Love Donnie. Donnie's great. Donnie's awesome, right? Donnie's great. And then ultimately he made the decision to go in a different direction. Why? Because there comes a point, and I'm going to say it, and it's going to be harsh. You earn the right to have an opinion, or you don't. And I think that the players this year probably lost a little bit of that because of some of the moments where it was like, no compete, no energy, didn't play good, hard enough, didn't give 100%. You're like, all these things that was said by Kevin, said by Don Granato. As a player, do you now have the right of having that opinion when all these comments were made from game one to game 82? I don't know. And I love it. Like, Alex Tuch is a great person, and he's a great soundbite, and he's talking about it with a smile. Like, yeah, you're going to ask him about Gerard Gallant because he had him. Yeah, you're going to ask him about Lindy Ruff because he grew up watching the Sabres. Mm-hmm. But if it was, you asked the question to Tage Thompson, he probably would have very little to say because he doesn't have that experience with other candidates or that history with other candidates like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. There is game action tonight to speak of organizationally. The Amerks are home this evening against Toronto. What an opportunity, Marty. Three games left in the regular season. They are 1 point out of first in the North Division. Devon Levi is going to get the start tonight at Blue Cross Arena. The last home game will be on Friday night. And then, of course, they have a road game on Saturday. But, you know, keeping a close eye on Anton Wahlberg, the fact that they're going to be a little healthier on the back line with Ciccone coming back in tonight. And, you know, they're still without, unfortunately, Brett Murray. Tyson Kozak is making some progress, but I think the most notable, as it ties in with, you know, end of Sabres season and now continuation of Amerks season, is that Lukáš Rusek is back. And when he left, you know, to go to Buffalo, he was the team's leading scorer, and he returns to play on a line with Byron and Weisbach tonight. So this is nice. This is a really, really, you know, it's disappointing for sure that Brett Murray, you know, had that upper body injury just last week and now he's out week to week, but this is starting to take shape nicely, as it will for all the teams around the Amerks in the North Division here.
Yeah, no, it's look, three games left, and I know my time with the Rochester Americans and the playoff run of 98-99 was one that really did wonders for my career and for my confidence, and knowing that I had a great year and then I followed it through in the playoffs and we went to the Calder Cup Finals, and the organization did it in 99 and did it in 2000, and it led to a lot of players come in and help the Sabres, and that's the same thing. And, you know, yeah, they can still catch right now the Syracuse Crunch. They can finish first in that division. That's a goal. That's a goal that's attainable and that the Rochester Americans should be eyeing on, because 3 weeks ago they were, a lot closer to not making the playoffs than making it. And now we're like chasing first place in the division. So I think that's great for them.
Yeah, and what's crazy is when, if you were just looking at the standings on MSG, the fact that top to bottom is a gap of just over 10 points. And when you look at the rest of the league, there is truth and clarity behind Seth Appert's words all year long, that the North Division is an absolute beast. Nobody is out yet. Utica and Laval still have a chance to catch fifth place Belleville, but the rest of the divisions in the American Hockey League typically average between 30 and 40 points from the top of the division to the bottom. This is crazy, the type of competition that has existed against the Amerks, around the Amerks, the entirety of the season, which is an amazing development tool, right?
Between Hershey and Bridgeport, there's 42 points, 109 to 57. Between Milwaukee and Iowa, there's 35 points. And between Coachella Valley and San Diego, there's 40 points. That's how the other divisions are. And the Central Division, not the Central, the North Division, Syracuse is 84 points and Utica 73. There's 11 points. And three games can flip that on its head, right? You win three, the other team lose three. That's a 6-point, 12-point swing right there.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. I'll be seeing you in Rochester on Friday. But, of course, the Amerks are playing at home tonight against Toronto. And we'll be back after this with more reaction from, the players who are speaking this morning. And, of course, a quick tour around the NHL now that there is a lot more clarity when it comes to playoff positions and the 16 teams that will be advancing. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.